I started in 1983, and I remember going into a small office and somebody asking me if I knew English well enough, and I said, yes, I think I do. I was talking Spanish, of course. So they gave me a piece of paper with something with an English phrase to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I read, I think, 7 words, and they said, the job is yours.
Great. Well, I guess that you were very happy.
Yes, yes. It was definitely important for me because I had to close the orthopedic firm that I was sharing with my father, who unfortunately passed away in 1980, and I took over the business myself.
Mm-hmm.
But things were going very bad, especially with the dictatorship, and I had to close it in 1982, mm-hmm. almost 83. So it was a very nice thing to happen to me to get myself a job like that in the radio.
But you had before some acting experience. I mean, you hadn't done radio before, but you had done some acting before.
Oh, yes, yes. I belonged to the Suburban Players.
Mm-hmm.
That this was a sort of amateur group of people who were doing theater. And I do remember one thing. The first, I was rather shy when I was younger, and I was never very keen on appearing in front of people to do some sort of acting. My mother insisted that I do this. And I said, well, Mom, why do you think I can? And, well, I finally did. I went on. It was a sketch competition, several groups, at the Admissions to Seamen. And, well, I appeared on the stage, and everybody went on. And, okay, so then we had the judges competing and saying, well, okay, now let's see who has won, what sketch was the best, and what actors and actresses, or actresses and actors, mm-hmm. rather, put the ladies first. Were okay. So when finally everything was okay, when they came to me, they said, well, Mr. Tony Middleton can dedicate himself to something else. So I looked down, I saw my parents sitting down there on their seats, and I said, well, told you, Mom, told you, Dad. And so Mr. Jorgen Sorvik, who was the head, or rather the leader of the Suburban Players in those days, spoke to me and said, Tony, you weren't all that bad. And you always have said that you like the group since you joined it 20 days before the sketch. If you want to stay, you don't have to act. You can help us with lighting, with prompting, with building the stage, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so I said, well, okay, fine, here, yeah, because I think the group was tremendous. And so I stayed. And then all of a sudden, one day, I went to a rehearsal, mm-hmm. which I wasn't playing a part in, mm-hmm. but I went anyway because I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, somebody by the name of George Dent wasn't appearing because he wasn't feeling too well.
You replace him.
So I had to read for him.
You were there at the right time, the right place.
Yeah, exactly, yes. And all of a sudden, when they say, well, Tony, here's the line, here are the lines, but I had already done this about 7 or 8 times. I said, I don't need it. I already know it by memory.
Good.
So, well, that was fine. That was, yes, Arsenic and Old Lace was the play, Arsenic mm-hmm. and Old Lace.
This is a theater group that performed in English, I mean, English language
That's
plays.
That's right, this is all, yes, this was all English theater.
It was a company that performed in the Buenos Aires area, all over Argentina.
And first of all, in the capital city, yes, we performed at the Missions to Seamen.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And then we went to San Isidro, mm-hmm. And there we had Suburban Players, had its own building, and it was fantastic. We went on for years and years and years. And then we acted in a theater by a church on almost Alvear and Libertador.
Tony, well, you're Argentine born, but you have a complete British background. I mean, your parents were from the
UK. Yes, that's
right.
I was born here in 1939, so now everybody has calculated that I'm over 80 years old.
But you don't sound like that at all. I mean, you sound exactly the same as when I met you more than a decade ago.
My goodness, well, that's nice. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I don't act or feel like an old man. I know people who are younger than I am. And they certainly don't go around like I do.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with that. It's a matter of attitude.
Exactly, that's true, yes. And I was very happy, too, with the with the radio, because at one point they made me the chief of the English group.
Mm-hmm.
And I had three or four people under me, and everything was fine, and everybody was absolutely terrific. And I must admit that among all the people who I had, both Miriam Turkul and you were the happiest I've ever had.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And I want to take the opportunity now that we are on the air to thank you very much for that opportunity, for supporting me in joining RAI. It really was a life changer for me, not only from the professional point of view, but also from the personal aspect of my life. So thank you very much.
Yes, it changed you, did it? That's very good. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it has been important for you then.
And it, well,
how long have you been in now? Because I can't remember exactly.
Yeah,
when you
well,
came
it's
in.
It's over 12 years.
12 years. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I had to quit in 2008. And I must admit, I missed the radio, but mm-hmm. There was nothing I could do. I remember when I was already 65, and that is the age that people...
You had to quit because you were, I mean, you reached the legal retirement age.
Yes. Well, no, I reached the legal retiring age 3 years before. I was 65,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "We're not going to get rid of you, Tony. We need you here, so don't take any, don't worry." But 3 years later, in 2008, they all of a sudden said, "Tony, you have to join the retirees list." I said, "Oh, well, okay, no problem." And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do remember one thing. I don't know, apart from whether it was only Miriam, but what they organized as a farewell party was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic.
Great.
And, it was great. It was tremendous. And I enjoyed it very, very much. And I must admit, I felt very proud of all you people.
That's great. I'm glad that you felt like that, and I'm glad I was able to witness that. I mean, I had just joined. And Tony, during those 3 decades that you hosted the English language program, that you were there, you were head of the English language department of RAI. Why don't you share with us some highlights, some anecdotes, which were some historic moments you were able to witness, or messages you got from listeners somewhere in the world?
Well, as a matter of fact, every now and then I used to get a phone call. Well, somebody called, I think it was from England, and they wanted to talk to me. And they said that they enjoyed what I was doing. And I said, "Yeah, well, it's only just a job, and it's a radio. Well, why are you calling me?" "Well, I wanted to tell you that I enjoy what you do and how you do it, what you say and how you give your opinion." And, well, that was it. And then in 1982, there was also, unfortunately, the Malvinas War.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to share with Maria Dolores a program asking the Brits not to come down to
mm-hmm.
Malvinas.
Yeah.
And we were in Radio Splendid at one point, apart from RAI also.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to play the Beatles asking the British people not to come down to Malvinas.
Yeah.
But normally... I wouldn't say there was anything strange or anything I can actually remember saying that, "Well, my goodness, yes, oh, no, I never thought that would happen," or whatever.
But I mean,
everything sort of rolled very well, as though the wheels were all oiled and everything was working out just fine.
You were recruited by, I mean, the military government. Put together that program, and they gave you the instructions to host it. How? Can you give it?
This was Galtieri, actually.
Mm, yeah.
I had to go to the Pink House, government house, and this is one thing, yes, that I do remember, is that when I walked in, it was about 10:30 or more or less 10:45, not important, and all of a sudden I was stopped, and they said, "Just one moment." And why? Because somebody was coming down, and it was Mr. Galtieri at 10:30, 10:45. And what did he do? He had a glass of whiskey in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we walked in afterwards, where I had to join and see what the heck it was I had to do, I had this man who was going to write the everything that had to be said. And, well, it was strange, but it was meaningful, but that's about all.
Mm-hmm.
It was an experience.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. When you started, the station was in Ayacucho Street, in the building on Ayacucho
that's
Street.
That's right, yes. That's right. Ayacucho, almost Las Heras.
Mm-hmm.
No, almost, no. Well, what you, yeah. It was in Las Heras. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Las Heras.
And then in the late 1990s, was it when they moved to the present location?
Yeah, we went to Maipú 555, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Well, Tony, this was certainly a pleasure for me to be able to talk to you on the air.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Well, Tony, why don't you do the sign of yourself as you would do in the old times?
In the old times, yes. I don't quite remember. I do remember the start as I started out, but just ending up, I said, well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen who have been listening to us. I hope you continue listening to us because we enjoy what we're doing. So this is Rai, the International Service of the Argentine Radio, signing off only for today.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck and all the best. And may this pandemic finally end. And may they, I do hope they will find a vaccine or something which will kill this horrible virus.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Not at all, Fernando. It's been a great pleasure. And thank you, all listeners who enjoyed me. I enjoyed this today. It's brought me back to my old times.